Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This week, a friend of mine posted on Facebook a story about Santiago's. It's a restaurant, and it was being closed for a day because of snow. Now, what stopped me about this is that this restaurant is in Bisbee, which is a part of Arizona, southern Arizona, as you can see on the map there, where snow is highly unusual, even in the winter. The other peculiar thing is that my friend does not live in Arizona. She lives in Florida. She moved there. They moved there from North Dakota because, as you might guess, they were tired of the snow. But it's the uniqueness of snow, of all things, closing a Mexican restaurant in Arizona that caught my attention. That's the sort of thing to make you stop and think. And that's sort of what an epiphany is, something to make you stop and think. When you talk about what having an epiphany means, it's more a revelation, a moment of clarity, or as some people call it, an aha moment. That's what we get in the gospel lesson today. It's an aha moment. This is a moment of revelation to the world. This moment when the Magi come to Herod and ask about the place where the king was born. The king's coming wasn't some small private matter, and today's gospel lesson makes that clear. His coming as a baby to Judea, to the town of Bethlehem, this was something that the whole world took note of. The universe even responded to it. This baby's birth was no small matter. Look at the nouns. Look at the nouns. Look at the people mentioned in the gospel passage. There's Herod. There's the Magi from the east. Don't forget this one. All of Jerusalem. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and Mary. This coming into the world by God and the infant Jesus was not an unknown event in some unknown town. And looking at the list of people involved, the ones that stand out for us on this epiphany are the wise men or the Magi. Now, looking into research on the Magi, we find that they belong to a group of gifted sages that are well known in the history of the Persian Empire, and they specialized. They specialized in everything from astronomy to religion. Now, Magi, living in Babylon, doubtless came into contact with the descendants of the Jewish leaders and rabbis that were exiled by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC. There was a large Jewish community that stayed behind in Babylon for the next 1,000 years. So these Magi would have been familiar both with messianic prophecies in the Old Testament as well as the star and the skies. But the star specifically as a symbol of the Messiah. Numbers 24:17 says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. So, these Magi and their famous question upon reaching Jerusalem, where is the newborn king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him, was not asked just simply at random or out of a vacuum. We actually know very little about these particular wise men. We really don't even know how many there were. The Bible doesn't say. 3, though, is a good number. Imagine having 40 wise men at your creche. We say 3 because only 3 gifts are mentioned: the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, the early church spoke of 3 wise men, even coming up with names for them: Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. One of the greatest scholars of the early Middle Ages, somebody we call the Venerable Bede, he wrote this about the wise men of our lesson. This is what he wrote. "The first is said to have been Melchior, an old man with white hair and a long beard, who offered gold to the Lord as to a king. The second man, named Caspar, young and beardless and ruddy complexion, honored him as God by his gift of incense, an offering worthy of divinity. The third, black-skinned and heavily bearded, called Balthazar, by his gift of myrrh, testified that the Son of Man was to die." So, God coming into the world was not a small thing. And take note that Jesus was marked for death from his very birth by both the gift of myrrh and the actions that took place after today's gospel reading. If you read further on in this chapter, remember the story that Herod had all of the babies in and around Bethlehem killed in an attempt to murder this one child. So death is what the world wanted for Jesus from the time the world knew he was born. Again, Jesus' birth was no small event. And now, with the coming of these non-Jewish wise men from the east, because of a star in the heavens, the whole world was aroused and, aha, was made aware that things were now different because God has come to earth. And in typically rebellious human fashion, we sought to destroy him. Jesus came, and he came to bring us the gift of life. But it was death that greeted his arrival. The gift of life is Christ's offering to us. We are then changed, and our view of our world is changed by this gift of Jesus. But remember that this change applies only to Christians. Christians see the world different because of what Jesus has done by coming to us, and by his dying on the cross, and by his rising again to give us eternal life. But most people in our world today don't realize that that's the real truth about Jesus. And that truth is what we get to come alongside those people there who need to see and hear this. We get to witness to them of the gift of life that each has been given. A gift many of them don't even recognize that they need. But we know. And we are responsible to live in this world and to share what we know. That life eternal is in this infant, in this person, Jesus alone. We spend ourselves, we spend our lives as gifts to those around us in telling them what has been told to us, that Jesus spent his life for us. He did that He did that so that we would know his gifts of freedom and peace, righteousness, and love. We're given this gospel. We are given this gift of the gospel so that we can be spent in giving that away to others. That's the thing with gifts. They're only gifts when they are given away. Look again at the gifts given to Jesus in the gospel lesson today. These are interesting. The gifts of the wise men, as we said, pointed out Jesus' kingship in gold, his divine nature in incense, and his necessary death in the gift of myrrh. But it was through his singular death that his gift of life for the world was accomplished. Knowing what gifts the so-called Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar brought, that leads me to ask you to think about this. What gift would you like to have given the newborn king? Now consider this question. What gift do you daily bring to him? Give that some thought over lunch today. It is our faith to believe that this child that the Magi bring their gifts to is both fully God and fully man at the same time. This isn't just some kid who later was elevated to the status of God because he somehow earned that by his good works. No. He was from infancy, and from within Mary's womb, he was God. He was God in the clothing of human flesh and blood. The Magi coming and giving their gifts was putting the world on notice that God had indeed now come to us. God had come to us. This epiphany, this revealing of who Jesus is, was bigger than simply a mere aha moment. The Magi, these wise men from the East, these were not Jews, just as you and I are not Jews. But their coming was evidence that the whole earth was being awakened to a new paradigm, a new way of seeing things. This was a new thing altogether. It was a heavenly thing, and something such as had never happened before. But it will happen again. That's what we're promised. Jesus will come back again, not in the same way. But today in Scripture, we see the epiphany, the revealing of Jesus as a shift in the world. It's a sea change like we would never have understood before his coming. We've been granted through Jesus the gift of God's grace. To know and to understand that this child comes to give us God's grace and mercy through his own sacrifice. The result for us is eternal life instead of eternal death. This change, this aha moment, is not about snow falling in southern Arizona. This is not about the changes that happen in a family, a school, a workplace, or a congregation. No. This change moves us beyond this world, and even out of ourselves. This change comes to us because this baby has come to us. God has come. God has come. God has come and has not left us alone. It is His gift of life to us that we are given and that we freely share with others. We are who we are today because Jesus is who He is today and always. He is the revealed Holy Son of God in the flesh. In His name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth...